Grand National Park. I'm taking some awesome photos of like the canyons there, and I'm standing like right on the edge of this cliff. And so I'm taking some awesome pictures, and as soon as I'm done, I turn around to leave. And as soon as I do, I look around and there's a buffalo just face to face with me. It can't be more than 20 feet away. It's walking straight at me. I have this cliff to my back, this buffalo just closing the gap in between us here. And I'm like trying to rack my brain at what's the safe distance that the Yellowstone Park Ranger told me that I need to stay away from buffalo? I don't know, but this has to be way closer. And welcome back to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me here today. If you were listening last week, you would know that I'm currently talking about my summer road trip around the United States. I guess sort of the mid-northwest portion of the United States. And last week, I really just talked about, I guess it was the middle portion of the United States, central U.S., driving through like Illinois and Iowa and Tennessee and sort of up the Mississippi River there up to Chicago. And it was kind of just like enjoying the scenery, enjoying the farmlands, nice, pretty drives, things like that. But today I'm really excited because I get to introduce the national parks that I visited. And I visited quite a few, kind of counting up real quick. I think I visited about five national parks on this trip. And I did mention, I don't know if I mentioned it in last week's episode, but the week prior to that, when I was talking about my Utah road trip that I took, I did purchase the America the Beautiful Pass. And this is an amazing deal if you're going to visit more than, I would say, about three national parks. It only costs about $80, and you know, a big national park will cost you about $30 or $40. So if you're going to visit, you know, three or more parks, definitely go ahead and splurge on that America the Beautiful Pass. It will definitely pay for itself. And, you know, I always just sleep on national parks. And I don't know why. They're incredible. And every time I go to one, I'm like, wow, this is awesome. I need to go to more of these. But they're just never on the top of my list. And I don't know why. But these parks that I'm going to talk about today were definitely, you know, the cream of the crop, the ones that I had to get to. And so I'm really excited to talk about today. I had a great time on this back end of the trip, and I would definitely do at least this last part of the trip again. It was really awesome. So I left off last week in Kalispell, Montana. I kind of left you on a cliffhanger of me arriving in Glacier National Park. I actually drove past Glacier on the way to Kalispell, and so I drove past the entrance, and it was like maybe 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was like, you know, I might as well just stop and drive in there and see what it's like. I have this America the Beautiful Pass. It's not going to cost me anything. So I drive in there kind of just to get my bearings for the next day because I didn't want to be lost showing up before dawn. And I wanted to know where I was going. So I went ahead. I drove up to the Avalanche Lake stop there. That's where the road was closed at the time. And then I kind of just meandered my way back and made a few stops along Lake McDonald to find the best places that I wanted to kind of scout out for the next day for sunrise. So, you know, Lake McDonald is beautiful. If you've ever seen a picture of Glacier National Park, more than likely it's going to be from Lake McDonald there. The rocks in the lake bed are so beautiful. They're so vibrantly colored. It's like the rainbow in there. And they were formed, obviously, they were formed from the different mineral compositions that created them. And then as the glaciers moved along, they kind of just spit them out. And then the lake did its thing and made them all nice and smooth and everything like that. So it's a great viewpoint. You know, you have to stop there if you're going to, you know, go to Glacier. Stop at Lake McDonald, find one of the pull-offs, and then go ahead and walk down off the trail there to the lake. And it's absolutely gorgeous. So I didn't stay there for too long. I thought about staying for sunset, but sunset was going to be at like 10 o'clock or something stupid like that, and I was planning on getting up early for sunrise, so I went ahead and went out to my hotel. I stayed, like I said, in Kalispell, which was about 30 to 45 minutes from the park, but you know what I noticed is around these national parks, you kind of have to stay about 30, 45 minutes away if you want to not pay a premium, and so I probably paid, you know, half as much as I would have if I stayed right outside of the park. And so I did not mind, you know, getting up an extra 30, 45 minutes early to save that little bit of money. So the next day, I got up super early. I think I left at 4 a.m. to hit sunrise there at Glacier. It was a gorgeous sunrise. Watched it come up over the mountains there in Glacier above Lake McDonald. It was amazing. I was glad I had scouted out the day before because there's no way, you know, I'd have found this spot in the dark. So after sunrise, about as soon as I knew all the colors were gone, I went ahead and headed up to the Avalanche Trail, or the Avalanche Lake Trail stop. It gets really busy, and so I knew, you know, that was one of the main trails I wanted to hike. And so I got there as soon as I could. There were already a few people there when I got there at like 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock. And so, you know, if that's one of the trails that you want to do, you know, I've found at most national parks, if you want to do a hike in particular, you need to get there like ASAP. Get there before the sun rises, or you're going to be driving circles until someone finally leaves. So I got my parking spot there at the Avalanche Lake stop. And as soon as you leave the parking lot, you're going to start what's called the Trail of Cedars. And this is a great hike. I mean, it's walking through a cedar forest. The entire trail, or I'd say probably about 75% of the trail, is completely planked. So there's like a wooden boardwalk through this forest. And so, you know, no matter your mobility or anything, this is a great trail that you can hike. And it's a really pretty viewpoints. And so you're inside this forest the whole time. It's absolutely incredible. So definitely check that out no matter, you know, what your abilities are there. Now, about halfway through the Trail of Cedars, there's a turnoff for Avalanche Lake. And like I said, this was one of the few trails that was actually open at the time. And that, you know, looked the best out of the available options. And so I went ahead and took that little detour there for Avalanche Lake. It was a 2-mile hike. I did it in about an hour, so not too terrible. I think I got up to the top around 7:30, 7:45, and there was like one other couple up there with me. So it was great. I was up there by myself pretty much, and the view up there at Avalanche Lake is absolutely gorgeous. You have a lake, and then you have like 3 waterfalls on the other side of the lake just coming down into it. It's great. I loved it. And it was nice just being up there, you know, kind of by myself. I think I ate breakfast up there. And then after, you know, about 30 minutes or so, or just enjoying the views, turned around, headed back down through the forest. And I probably passed 100 people on the way up. I mean, by 8:30, that trail was absolutely packed. So definitely, you know, if kind of being off by yourself is your thing, make sure you get there early. And start, you know, a little bit after sunrise, and you should be okay. So after that, one of the main things that I love about national parks is there's always a scenic drive. The scenic drive always just goes through the heart of the national park, shows you, you know, the best pieces of it. And so Glacier National Park is no different. There's the Going to the Sun Road. Unfortunately, when I was there, it was closed. And the reason was because the eastern part of Glacier National Park is actually in an Indian reservation, or the entrance to the east side of the park is in an Indian reservation. So because of COVID, even until this point, I believe, most Indian reservations are completely shut down. Like, they will not allow visitors from the outside come in. And so it was completely closed off. I had to, you know, drive a couple extra hours to get around the reservation to get to the west entrance for Glacier. And so you couldn't do the Going to the Sun Road. So because of that, I was like, okay, you know, I finished the Avalanche Lake hike around like 8:30, 9 o'clock. And so I figured I'm just going to go ahead and hike. There's a viewpoint. It's called the Loop. And it's about, you know, 10 miles up the trail. And so I figured, you know, it's pretty early in the morning, and I might as well give it a shot, see how far I can get. So I start hiking, and I would say, you know, a quarter of a mile up the trail, I just see this group of guys. And they're kind of just like standing there, and they look to be about my age. And I'm like, what is going on here? So I walk up to them, and they come over to me, and they're like, do you have any bear spray? And I'm like, no, I don't have any bear spray. Why would I have bear spray? And they're like, everyone is telling us we need to have bear spray if we're going to do this hike. And some people have already seen some bears today. And I'm like, well, I don't have any bear spray. Like, sorry. And so they're like, okay, it's fine, whatever. And I keep walking. And then they clash me. They're like, hey, like, do you want to walk with us? Like, we'd rather have some more people in our group. I think there was like four of them. And so, you know, I hadn't even thought about bears, honestly. And so since they had said all that, I was like, sure, why not? It might be nice to hike with a group. And so I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So we start this hike, and it was pretty hilarious. Like, every time we saw a group of people coming down from the trail, they would be like, hey, do y'all have bear spray? And no one had any. But apparently a few people had actually seen bears on that hike. And we had apparently also walked past some bears in the river, because as we were walking, people were passing us like, hey, did you see that bear? And we were like, no. And they're like, well, it was right back behind you. So we were obviously pretty oblivious to the wildlife. But yeah, there are obviously some bears up there in the north, so watch out for those. I don't know, you know, how precautious you want to be. Bear spray was going in a premium on that day, so, you know, it might be a good investment opportunity to just buy a few extra things of bear spray and sell them to scared individuals on the trails. So we did this hike. Most of it was flat. I would say the first 6 or 7 miles was really just flat, and it's on pavement because it's a road, so it's pretty smooth hiking the entire way. There were a ton of people biking the trail, and you could rent bicycles up at the front of the park. I did not do this, but it looked like a pretty awesome trail to ride your bike on, especially when the road is closed like that. So after about 7 miles, then you start getting into, you know, climbing the mountain and the incline and all this kind of stuff. And those last 3 miles kicked my butt, let me tell you. My knees were hurting. I was sore. Like, I honestly was like, I think I'm just going to turn around. And then everyone was like, no, like, we're almost there. Like, no problem. We were trying to figure out where we were on the map because none of us had cell phone service. So we were just looking at a paper map. And I was like, oh, I think we took this turn. Or, you know, this turn's a little wider. Maybe we took that one instead. So after 10 miles, we finally got to the viewpoint. You walk through this awesome tunnel. I feel like every national park has a cool tunnel. But you walk through this tunnel and you get to this viewpoint. It's absolutely gorgeous. I mean, there's huge snow-capped mountains everywhere. Absolutely phenomenal. A great viewpoint. I honestly don't know if I would recommend hiking it to everyone. If you're driving, absolutely do it. But hiking it is another story. That was a difficult hike. And then, you know, we probably sat there for 30 minutes, ate lunch, and then went ahead and hiked on back. And so, I mean, you think like going downhill is going to be super easy, but going down was so hard. I mean, I was dead by the time I got back to my car, like absolutely wiped out. I think I got back around noon, 1 o'clock. So we did about 20 miles in 4 or 5 hours. Pretty insane pace there. But we made it. And yeah, it was amazing views. I'm glad I did it, just because, you know, I would have, you know, it would have been terrible if I had gone to Glacier and not seen those views of the Going to the Sun Road. But definitely, if you have, you know, the option of driving it, I definitely recommend driving it, doing that way. So I get to the car and I go ahead and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and drive partway to Yellowstone. It was quite a long drive from Glacier to Yellowstone. I'm trying to think, maybe 6-7 hours of a drive there. So I went ahead and I drove through Flathead National Forest to Butte. Now, the cool thing about driving around these national parks, I think I mentioned this last week on that episode, is there's always like these national forests that are surrounding the national park. So even though you've left like Glacier National Park, you're still driving through an awesome national forest. I saw some elk. I even saw a bear. That was my one bear that I saw on this trip. And so, you know, it's really awesome to see this wildlife that you don't normally see on a day-to-day basis. So Butte was about, I'd say about 2/3 of the way to Yellowstone, went ahead and stopped there for the night. And then the next morning I got up and I drove to West Yellowstone. Now, if you're driving from Glacier, you're automatically going to go through the west entrance of Yellowstone. Or not the west entrance, the northern entrance. I stayed the night in West Yellowstone, but I came through the north entrance. So you drive through the north entrance, and this is called the Teddy Roosevelt Arch or the Teddy Roosevelt Gate. This was like the original Yellowstone Gate, and it's like this arch made out of stone. It has a quote from Teddy Roosevelt carved into it. It's really cool, and it takes you straight into the Mammoth Hot Springs. Now, I don't actually have a map in front of me right now. I probably should, but just thinking about it off the top of my head, thinking about the map, there's three or four distinct regions of Yellowstone. So northern Yellowstone is going to be like your hot springs and things like that. To the east is where, I'm trying to think what it's called. It's like the Valley, the Yellowstone Valley, I think it's called. And in Yellowstone Valley, this is where I would say 75% of the wildlife in Yellowstone live. There's going to be, if you want to see wolves thrive over there in East Yellowstone. You're going to have bears and elk and bison. A lot of this stuff, you know, is all over the park, but especially the wolves, I know, mainly live in East Yellowstone and in the Yellowstone, Yellowstone Valley. You also have sort of central Yellowstone or central, western central Yellowstone. You're going to have like Old Faithful and things like that. And then also you're going to have Old Faithful and the Grand Prismatic Springs and things like that. So I guess that's three main areas. And then in southern Yellowstone, then there's Lake Yellowstone and things like that. So it's kind of split up into a few different portions. I did not go to East Yellowstone. It didn't really fit well into my route. I would have to do a lot of backtracking to get up there. But there is a loop that goes sort of around the valley. And if you have some extra time, you might want to look into that. So I first off went to Mammoth Hot Springs. It was pretty cool. Most of the hot springs hiking that you do is on a boardwalk. And so there's not a lot of, you know, rough terrain or anything like that. It's pretty accessible for everyone, which is really cool. And so Mammoth Hot Springs was my first, you know, obviously geothermal sort of experience there in Yellowstone. It was really cool. You could see all of like the sediments and the minerals and all that kind of stuff, all the different colors. It was really awesome, and it really took me aback. I'll be honest, I was not really expecting too much out of Yellowstone. I thought it was going to be overrated, and you know, I just did not think it was going to be anything special. But I honestly was blown away by Yellowstone and how incredible it was. Just the geothermal activity there, just the natural, not even like the natural beauty, but just like the natural wonders that occur there, like the Grand Prismatic Springs, the geysers, all that kind of stuff, and the wildlife just really took me aback and really impressed me. So if you think that, you know, Yellowstone is sort of overrated and wouldn't be worth, you know, going and fighting the crowds, you might want to think again, because that's kind of where I was at. And I was definitely wrong about that. I really enjoyed Yellowstone and was definitely impressed by everything it had to offer. So with that being said, after the Mammoth Hot Springs, I went down to the Norris Geyser Basin. There's quite a few different geyser basins in the park. I think there's like three or four. And so this was just a place where there were a bunch of different geysers set up. I can't even tell you how many there were. There were probably like 10 or 15 different ones. I never saw any erupt while I was there. But, you know, if you timed it right, they have a few there that are pretty regular that you can kind of gauge plus or minus an hour or two. After that, I drove over to the Grand Canyon of the Yellowstones. Let me tell you, this was impressive. There's the Yellowstone waterfall there, which is ginormous. There's the upper and lower viewing platforms that you can climb up or down to. Both of them offer amazing views. I went ahead and went down to the lower one, even though my legs were telling me not to from the day before in Glacier. But it was a great view. And it's, you know, it's a mighty, mighty waterfall there and an impressive canyon. After visiting Utah, and then thinking to Yellowstone as well, it's pretty cool how you can, especially like all these canyons and things like that, where water has eroded everything, just like I could almost categorize national parks by the color of the rocks. It's kind of weird, but like all the national parks in Utah were like a shade of red. There were some dark reds, like maroons. There were some light oranges. And then like Yellowstone, get this, there was Yellowstone there. So, that's pretty interesting. But like the Grand Canyon of Yellowstone, like, I feel like I could pick that out of any lineup just because of the rock layering, and the yellowish, you know, brownish color of the rocks. It's pretty interesting, and just like the diversity of the geography is pretty cool, or geology, I suppose. Okay, so after the Grand Canyon of Yellowstone, some of my first wildlife I saw in Yellowstone was here. I saw some huge bull elks, which was pretty awesome. They were just like laying there on the side of the road, and there was like a park ranger there directing traffic around it. So pretty cool. There's a ton of wildlife in Yellowstone, which I think is what makes, which is one thing that makes it so amazing, is just how much wildlife there is in the park. So I drove over that night. I drove over to Idaho, kind of stuck my foot in there, to mark it off. I wanted to like stop and get some potatoes or something there in Idaho, but there was not any restaurants within like 20 miles of the border. And so I was just like, I'm just going to pull a quick U-ey and drive back to Yellowstone. I had a buffalo ribeye in West Yellowstone, which I feel like is sort of a local cuisine. I had seen several buffalo that day, so I figured it was fitting. It's pretty crazy. I'd never seen a buffalo in the wild like that before. And so I was driving along the road on my way out of Yellowstone, and I look over and I see like a boulder there next to the road. I'm like, oh, that's a nice boulder. And then I drive by and I look, and it's a bull or a buffalo and a baby buffalo. And I was like, what in the world? And so I pull over, of course, and go over and take some pictures, not getting too close or anything. And then, you know, I continued on my way. There's apparently a place on the way out next to West Yellowstone that's really popular with animal sightings. When I was leaving, probably a couple hours before sunset, there were a ton of people just parking and getting ready with their cameras and stuff to take pictures of the wildlife. I hadn't seen anything about this, but if you're big into, you know, sightseeing like wildlife or maybe animal photography, you can check that out. I will say, I think it was the day after I left Yellowstone, apparently a bear had chased down and killed an elk, like in the same exact spot. And it was like, you know, a few hundred yards off the road. And so you could see it with binoculars and stuff. And that was like a huge thing of like people going up there and taking photographs of this grizzly bear just completely, you know, eating everything that this elk had to offer. Okay, so I stayed the night in West Yellowstone. I'd probably spent half the day there. And then the next day, I got up and went back to Yellowstone. I went to the Lower Geyser Basin, which I think that's the one where I just drove a little loop around it. There was honestly not too much to see there. And then I went to the Midway Geyser Basin. The Midway Geyser Basin has the Grand Prismatic Spring in it. Now, this thing is, not only is it absolutely gorgeous, but it's really big. I don't even want to tell you how big I think it probably is. But the coloring around the rim, because of all the minerals and things like that in the water, is really cool. It looks like a rainbow. There's like blues and greens and yellows and reds. It's incredible. Once again, across all the geyser basins are boardwalk, so another easy hike. However, it was kind of stormy that day, and from all of the storminess and then the steam from the geysers, you could not see anything at all in the Midway Geyser Basin. I mean, as I was walking along the boardwalk, I was like, do I see a geyser? Do I even see water? I don't know. And so At first, I was like, well, this was kind of lame. Like, I can't even see anything. But then I remembered. I had done some research, and there was a viewpoint for the Grand Prismatic Spring. It's off of the Fairy Falls hiking trail turnout. And so once you leave the Grand Prismatic Spring, I would say it's maybe like a half mile to a mile away. And so you kind of just like go around a bend and then come back. And I think it might even be the first pull off once you leave the Midway Geyser Basin. So once you stop at Fairy Falls, go ahead and start the hike to Fairy Falls. And about a mile in, about halfway through the hike, you'll see a little arrow pointing off towards the spring overlook. Go ahead and take that. You'll have to climb up a little bit to get a good view. And then there's a viewing platform, and it's absolutely incredible. There are some awesome views of the Grand Prismatic Spring and the rest of the Midway Geyser Basin. If you only chose one of the two, I'd definitely choose the Fairy Falls Overlook because, you know, unless it's just an amazingly clear day, you're not going to be able to see the Grand Prismatic Spring, and that's why you're there. So definitely check out the Fairy Falls Spring Overlook. It's a great view and totally worth it. There were some bison on this part of the trail as well. And so as I was walking to the overlook, I noticed that there were two bison over there, two buffalo on the left side of the trail. And they were maybe like 100 feet off the trail, just kind of minding their own business. I took a couple pictures and kept walking. So I came back and all of a sudden I noticed that one of those bison's literally like 10 feet to my new left of the trail. So it had like crossed the path. So I'm standing there, I'm taking some cool pictures, you know, everyone's taking like selfies with the buffalo. And then all of a sudden everyone's like, whoa, watch out. And so we look over and this other bison starts like meandering along and is like about to cross the trail. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to kind of stand my ground to get a good picture. And then I'm going to like back off as I get a little bit more scared. And so this buffalo literally walked like 15, 20 feet in front of me across the trail and then just, you know, proceeded to eat some grass or whatever they do. So that was pretty cool. I've heard of times where the buffalo might be a little aggressive and not be so nice, but these buffalo or bison were really cool. And, you know, were great photo props there. So after the spring overlook there, I went ahead and went to the Upper Geyser Basin, which is where Old Faithful is at. Now, Old Faithful is like one of the top places to visit there in Yellowstone. And it's pretty cool. This is like where all the gift shops and everything, there's like a restaurant, the lodge and everything is just all built around Old Faithful. And there's like a half circle, a semicircle of seating there around it as well. Now, Old Faithful goes off about every 90 minutes, give or take 10 minutes. And I was fortunate enough when I first got there, I was about 5 minutes early to Old Faithful going off or whatever you call it, geysering, whatever it's called. And so it was pretty fortunate because, you know, I just kind of walked up to the platform, found a place to stand. And then, you know, after a few minutes, there it went. And at first I wasn't too impressed. I was like, well, that's pretty cool. I hadn't seen a geyser before, but it wasn't anything crazy. So I was like, I began to leave, and then I thought to myself, you know, I'm in Yellowstone, I'm at Old Faithful, I might as well see it geyser twice, and you know, if it goes off every hour and a half, I can waste an hour and a half, that's no big deal. So I went to the gift shop, I sat in my car and ate some snacks, I kind of just wandered around, and about an hour later, I headed back over to get a good seat. So I'm sitting there, and you know, a lot of people start showing up, and there's a big storm starting to blow in, and the clouds, you know, they started off kind of small, but the longer I sit there, the larger they get, and the closer and closer they get to me. But you know, like nothing's happening, it's not raining, so I'm gonna wait it out. I want to see Old Faithful again. Well, it's been about 2 hours, and Old Faithful has yet to blow again. And I'm like, okay, like, I thought your name was Old Faithful, what the heck? And so, still nothing. So, after about 2.5 hours, this storm is like right upon us. I mean, it's getting windy. It's starting to sprinkle a little bit, and we're like, the sky is about to fall. I mean, it is about to storm like nobody's business here. And Old Faithful needs to hurry up and get her show on the road so we can get out of here. So, like I said, after about 2.5 hours, an hour after, you know, Old Faithful's faithfulness ran out, the geyser explodes. And let me tell you, the first time I saw it when I first got there, it probably lasted for like a minute and a half. It was kind of weak, you know, nothing impressive. This thing, it went off for a solid 5 minutes. It shot so high. I mean, it was crazy. And I guess, like, the longer off it is, the more, like, pressure is built up and stuff like that. And so it goes higher and everything like that. I don't know. But it was totally impressive. And so after about a minute or two, it started, like, really starting to rain. And so I was like, okay, I'm impressed enough. I'm going to leave. I'm getting out of here. So I start, like, jogging back to my car. And I'm, like, walking along the path, sort of jogging. And all of a sudden, I hear a crash. And I look behind me. And this huge tree had fallen over on the path where I just was. And there's a ton of people. I mean, this geyser was off by an hour. So not only had the people who had been there since, you know, 1:30 or whatever time it was supposed to go off were there, but the people from 1:30 to 2:30 who had showed up late and were still waiting on it to go off were there. So there was a ton of people. Like, trees were falling down in the storm. It was crazy. I run over, get into my car. And I'm like, I'm getting out of here. It starts to hail, and I'm like, I can't stay here. I've gotta leave. So I start to drive, and I'm driving towards the Tetons, because the Tetons is a little north of Yellowstone, and that's where my next stop was gonna be anyways. So I'm driving, and I mean, it is storming. Like, I've not seen a storm like this in a long time. I mean, it's like sleeting and hailing and raining. And I don't know if you've ever been in the car and driving and the window is fogged up so much, like, you legit cannot see. You know, there's like that blue strip of like sunblock stuff at the top of your windshield. And like the entire windshield is like that color and you can't even tell where it is anymore. It was like that. And so I was like, I had like a towel and I was like wiping off the windshield. I had the defrost on full blast. I could not see a thing. And so I was like, I really need to pull off because, like, this is dangerous. But I couldn't even see the turnoff. Like, by the time I saw the turnoff, I was already, like, at it and couldn't stop. So I was just, like, driving blind pretty much. And so I'm driving. Finally, I get through the storm, and I go into the Tetons. Now, this is really cool because both the Tetons and Yellowstone are both national parks. But the Tetons and Yellowstone are actually, like, right next to each other. So you literally leave Yellowstone and drive into the Tetons, which is really cool. And so after that harrowing drive, I went ahead and went up to Jenny's Lake. And I'll tell you, the drive from Yellowstone into Glacier is absolutely beautiful. If you have an option of which way you want to enter the park, I definitely recommend driving from the north just because of how beautiful that drive was. So I went up to Jenny's Lake. Unfortunately, it was so cloudy because of the storm from the previous hour. I mean, it was still probably storming somewhere. You didn't really have any good views of Jenny's Lake, so I was like, well, that kind of sucks. So I went ahead and went to Mormon's Row. Now, Mormon Row is where there are some barns where the Mormon settlers had built, I guess, 100 or so years ago. And they're just right outside the national park. They're not even inside the national park. But you have great view of the Tetons there, and obviously the barns, the rustic value there adds a great foredrop, and it's just a great viewpoint. I forgot to mention that you cross the Continental Divide like 3 times when you're driving from Yellowstone to the Grand Tetons, and I had to throw, so my car is a standard, I had to throw that thing in like second gear to get up the Continental Divide. It was ridiculous. I think I crossed it maybe 4 or 5 times total on this trip. I guess it wouldn't make sense to do it an odd number of times. So maybe like 4 or 6 times. And it was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, my car was going like 70 miles an hour in third gear just because that's the only gear I could put it in to get up at the steepness of the Continental Divide. So anyways, that night, Like I've said earlier, except for Yellowstone, all of my hotels I would like book the night before or that day. I believe Yellowstone I booked early just because I knew it would be a little busier than everywhere else. But everything in the vicinity, like Jackson Hole, anything around the Tetons was super expensive, like over $100 a night. And I wasn't having it because I knew I was going to get up at like 4 a.m. to see the sunrise. It was already like 9 o'clock and I'm like, I'm not going to pay $140 to sleep for like 4 hours. So I took my hammock on this trip because I had already planned, you know, just lounging around or whatever. And I had thought that I would do some camping, just in general. But I really did not have a clear grasp on undeveloped campsites where I was allowed to legally camp for free and things like that. So I kind of just pushed that to the back burner and didn't really bother with it. But I discovered that there was an undeveloped site about 10 minutes from Mormon's Row. And so I was like, I'm going to check this out. Now, reminder, it was like already getting dark. And so I get there and there are like no campsites available. I just thought an undeveloped campsite. I showed up, pitched a tent, threw up my hammock, and I'd be good to go. But there's actually spots that you can reserve, and actually you don't reserve them at this site in particular. It's just first come, first serve. So luckily, I met this really nice couple, this older couple, and they were like, if you can get approved by the campsite director, then you're more than welcome to throw your hammock in some trees behind our tent. So I'm like, sweet. So I didn't even know that someone lives there like all summer and like make sure everything goes smoothly there. Makes sense, but I didn't know that was a thing. So fortunately, he was okay with it. This couple was awesome. They let me stay the night there. So I pitched my hammock there, and I camped in right outside the Tetons, which was really cool. And I was really glad I had that experience. Now, let me tell you, this sunset I saw at the Tetons was probably the most incredible sunset I've ever seen in my life. I mean, the colors were so vibrant, so amazing. There were just like all these purple wildflowers everywhere, and I can't even properly describe it. I mean, it was absolutely gorgeous. In fact, if you follow me on Instagram, this is going to be, I'll post this picture for today's episode. I'll go ahead and throw that up as the advertisement for this episode. So check out my Instagram to see this photo. It's absolutely amazing, and definitely, you know, the best view of that entire trip. It was absolutely incredible. I love the Tetons. They just look so jagged and rough, and they kind of remind me of like what I would say the Alps would look like. And they're definitely my favorite mountain range here in the U.S. They're absolutely beautiful. And so this was, you know, just a gorgeous way to cap off the day. It was awesome. So I spent the night in a hammock. I had like 5 or 6 blankets wrapped around me. I had like a toboggan on, a beanie, and some gloves, and, you know, I was snug in there. And it was actually a pretty decent night's sleep. I woke up 2 times the entire night, and both times I woke up, it was to wolves howling. And, you know, you just wake up, and it's pitch black dark. You can see all the stars. It's absolutely beautiful. And, you know, obviously the wolves howling were a little scary, not gonna lie. You know, I'm just hanging there like 4 feet off the ground in a hammock, and just hoping that nothing's lurking too big around. But it was really cool, a cool experience. And, you know, if you like to camp, definitely, you know, give that a shot because it really just added to the experience. And I had a great time, and I really loved, you know, just doing that out there. Now, the next day, I woke up at like 5 a.m. I drove, you know, that 10 minutes to Mormon's Row, and checked out the sunrise, and the sunrise was beautiful. There was this pretty cool fog bank that was like right along the base of the mountain, made for some great photos. But then when I went back into the park to go to Jenny's Lake again, the fog was just all over the lake. So I still couldn't get a good view of the lake, which was pretty disappointing. But you know, it is what it is. You know, I've found that if you don't want to pay to go to a national park, if you get there before sunrise, you don't have to pay. It's like a life hack. I feel like most of the time I go for sunrise at a national park, and then so I don't even end up paying. So I'm like, you know, I did save a lot of money with this America the Beautiful pass, but if you don't want to ever pay for a national park, they're open like 24/7, so just go before anyone gets there, and then, you know, you're there, and then stay until, you know, that night. It's like, it's a win-win. You know, you get sunrise, you get sunset, and it's free. Bam. So there's my tip of the day. Get there before sunrise and you don't have to pay. So after the Tetons, I didn't stay there too late. I was so sore from all the hiking I'd been doing. So after Jenny's Lake, you know, was pretty much a wash, I went ahead and got in the car, and I drove towards Rapid City, South Dakota. Now, I did make one pit stop on the way to Rapid City, and this was... by... the scientists still don't know. They, like, all the placards around the place had like three different cases of what might have happened, but it looks like it was like the plug of a volcano. So basically there used to be a volcano there, and then the magma got like clogged inside of the volcano and then just hardened, and then the actual volcano mountain part sort of eroded away and just left that plug there. It's pretty cool, and I've never seen anything like it before, so I definitely wanted to check it out. The coolest part was that there were people like free climbing and rock climbing and mountain climbing Devil's Tower. And because of the acoustics, you could literally hear the climbers like three quarters of the way to the top having a conversation from the bottom. It was really weird. You'd just be standing there watching them climb, and then they would just be talking to their climbing partner, and you could like literally hear every word they were saying. It was pretty awesome. There's a trail that goes all the way around Devil's Tower. I went ahead and climbed that or hiked that. It, you know, maybe took me an hour. It wasn't too difficult whatsoever. I will say they were doing some construction on the parking lot at the top of Devil's Tower. And so it probably took me like 30 minutes in traffic just to get to a parking spot. But they did a pretty good job. Like, they would have you stop there, and then when someone left, then they would like wave you in. So that was pretty, you know, it was kind of... you had to wait there a long time, but they, you know, had a smooth process going, so it wasn't too bad. So after Devil's Tower, I continued on. I had zero service at Devil's Tower, and so, you know, I kind of just do one map from one location to the next. And so since I didn't have a map there at Devil's Tower, I kind of just had to, like, guess and follow signs all the way to Mount Rushmore. And I was like, I guess this is how they used to do it. Before cell phones, but it was pretty scary trying to figure out how to get to Mount Rushmore, because I was like, I hope I'm not going in the wrong direction, because I don't want to drive an extra day for, you know, making a wrong turn. But I eventually made it there. I went all the right direction. I was impressed with my navigation skills, and I made it to Rapid City. Now, near Rapid City is Mount Rushmore. And there's actually like this little town at the base of Mount Rushmore that I didn't even know existed. It's pretty cool. It's really touristy. There's like a bunch of shops and restaurants and hotels and things like that. But Rapid City was about 30 minutes, outside of Mount Rushmore. And so it really wasn't, too terrible of a drive, and I'm sure it was a lot cheaper. I didn't even look for hotel prices in that other little town. Now, I will say, I'll say a few things about Mount Rushmore. I was a little disappointed for a few different reasons. The first reason is that it's a national park. So, you know, I figured I should be able to use my America the Beautiful pass. But they found a loophole, and they went ahead and said, Mount Rushmore is free. You just have to pay X amount of dollars to park. And so because the actual park was free, you couldn't use your America the Beautiful pass to pay for your parking spot. And so they kind of found a loophole to make you pay. So I was a little upset about that. I thought that was a little cheap of them to make me pay to park, even though I had my national park pass, but whatever. And then also the Presidential Trail, which takes you right up sort of to the base of Mount Rushmore, was closed. And I believe it was closed because President Trump was planning on coming there like 2 days later for, I guess, Independence Day. And so they have that closed off for security reasons, which is definitely understandable. So really, I just had to see Mount Rushmore from the gift shop, which was kind of lame, but, you know, it is what it is. Every night they have, like, a light show, and they had, like, some guy speaking, or some lady speaking about the history of it. I honestly couldn't tell you what they said, but the light show was pretty cool to see it at night and all lit up. I definitely recommend going during the day as well, kind of maybe sunset time like I did, to see it in the daytime and at night. So I left Mount Rushmore, headed back to Rapid City, spent the night. The next day, I got up, I think I slept in a little bit, and headed to the Badlands. Now, the Badlands National Park is pretty awesome. It's just like this huge wasteland of like hills and small mountains and things like that. And once again, the one entrance I tried to go to was closed because of COVID, and it was going through an Indian reservation. So then I had to make this huge U-turn, and like I found this like, I thought it was like a weird back entrance. I don't think it actually was, but you had to like drive all these like dirt roads and like past all these like cows, and it was really weird, and I felt like I just found some secret entrance, but I don't think I did, because it turned out to be the Badlands Loop, and so I honestly couldn't even tell you how to get to where I started, but it was a great place to start. I definitely recommend checking out Badlands Loop. There are a few hiking trails. I did not do any of them, but the Badlands Loop gives you a ton of awesome views. It takes you to all the great overlooks, and it just takes you through the heart of the park and allows you to see, you know, some of the best aspects of it. One of the funniest stories from this entire trip happened in Badlands. You know, when you're driving along in national parks, normally they have like turnouts and things like that, but in Badlands, they have a few of those, but a lot of people just turn off, you know, pull off on the side of the road. It's not too crazy busy or anything like that. So there's, you know, tons of amazing views on this, in this national park, on this loop. And so I was just driving along, and I'd pulled over several times to stop and take pictures, but I'm driving, and all of a sudden up ahead, I see a whole bunch of cars pulled over. And I'm thinking, maybe they pulled over because of this amazing view right here. So I'm going to go, I went ahead and pulled over on the side of the road, and I get out and I'm taking pictures, and I'm not paying attention to anybody else. I'm like, they probably have a great view over there. And it's on the little, it's over a little hill. I can't really see too much of it. So I'm standing there staring at the canyon, taking pictures, minding my own business. And all of a sudden I turn around and there's a buffalo just walking straight towards me. And I'm like, I'm standing next to this cliff, and there's a bison just, you know, waddling towards me. And so I'm like, I kind of need to move. And so I kind of just jump in front of it and then out of its way. And then it just flops down right in front, right where I was standing, you know, like 30 seconds before. And so I was like, oh my gosh. And there's like all these people that were following it and taking pictures of it and me. And I was like, so all these people who were pulled over were definitely taking pictures of the bison, and they were definitely just going to watch it, you know, push me into the cliff, because it was super quiet. If I hadn't turned around to go back to my car, I never would have even seen it. So that was kind of interesting, and glad I was not, you know, shoved into the Badlands by a bison. That would have been pretty terrible. So after that, I drove to Kansas, met up with some friends there. Had a great time, and then headed back to Texas, and that was basically my entire trip. You know, I'll say this again, the national park system in the U.S. is incredible. It's full of amazing sites, amazing hiking trails, camping opportunities. They're just awesome, and, you know, I, for one, take them for granted. I do not, I definitely do not appreciate them as much as I should. They are amazing opportunities for travel. And just, you know, to be able to see the United States. After going to Utah, I've seen most of the national parks that I really wanted to see. I feel like the big name national parks. There are a few more that I want to check out. But even like the smaller national parks, I feel like, you know, if I'm ever in the vicinity, I'll definitely want to check them out. You know, I recommend you do the same. Sometimes we don't think about the opportunities near us just because we're too excited and thinking about all the opportunities, you know, far away, like the grass is always greener sort of philosophy, I suppose, or mentality. But I definitely recommend, if you're in the U.S., check out a national park. If you're not in the U.S., you know, the United States should be a definite bucket list item, and you should throw some of these national parks on there. They will not disappoint, and they really showcase the raw natural beauty of what we have to offer. So with that being said, that's all I've got for you today. That was the end of my summer road trip, 2020 summer road trip, the COVID road trip, as I called it. So if you'd like to see any pictures from this trip, check out my Instagram at educateyourtravel. I have posts randomly throughout my feed, and I also have some stories saved as well. So check that out at educateyourtravel. Once again, don't forget, it's up to you to make your life interesting. So get up, get out, explore the world, take that next adventure. Thank you so much again for joining me here today, and I cannot wait to catch up with you next time. See you.